You're listening to On the Same Page, a podcast from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Welcome back to another episode of On the Same Page. We're your hosts. I'm Abby.
And I'm Katie. We're librarians at the Central Library.
On this episode, we hear a recording of an event featuring acoustic music and poetry by Rochelle Claiborne and Tucker Rogers.
But before we get to that, we've got book chat.
All right, book chat. Katie, what did you read?
I just finished, and when I mean just finished, I mean like in the last 2 hours. A book, yes, it's very fresh in my mind. A book that's been on my to-read list for a long, long time. I just never got to it. Mm-hmm. And it is a part of a trilogy. It's the first one of the Broken Earth trilogy by N.K. Jemisin.
Yes.
It's the fifth season, and it was amazing. I've got to say, it lived up to my expectations, which I was really happy about. So the premise of this series, it takes place on a planet called the Stillness. And every few centuries on this planet, there are these like apocalyptic episodes where essentially, just the world ends, I guess. And that's, so it's pretty interesting. So they're like, it could be an earthquake or it's usually some kind of big climate crisis happens. And so on this planet, the Jemisin has created these like a caste system. And so we have what she calls orogenies. And these are people who can use energy from the earth. They can kind of control that. So they can create earthquakes, but they can also stop them. And so because of this power, they're like widely hated and feared. And they're essentially like a subclass. So they have no rights, and they're essentially used to quell, you know, earthquakes and things like that. And so sometimes they might be murdered by like mobs of people or even their own families once they know that their child or whoever is showing signs that they might have these powers. And so the ones that do survive past childhood, they're taken to what's called the Fulcrum, which I guess is sort of like a training center. And they're, they're overwatched or taught by these supernatural beings called guardians. And they show them how to control their powers. So what I liked best about it is she has three different narrators. So the first one is a middle-aged woman who is secretly an orogeny, but she's sort of passing as, you know, a regular person. But she has two children, and they're showing signs of this orogeny.
Does it often run in families?
Yes. It does, yeah, because there's a whole breeding thing, too, where they have orogenies breed with each other, and then the guardians take over from them. The second narrator is, she's a young girl whose parents just realized she's an orogeny, and so they can't kill her, so they have a guardian come take her away to the Fulcrum thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then the last one is a third orogeny, and she's sort of like a rising star, like she's pretty talented, and so she's sent with the most powerful orogeny ever. He's sent to some far off country something that needs fixed in the earth, and she's sent with him essentially to create another child with him, and then they get caught up in this adventure. So it's really fascinating world building. It's like she's got languages, this whole caste system, and races and species, but there's a lot of things that are very familiar, like she touches on racism and climate change, for sure. So I'm excited to read the next two, for sure.
Awesome. That one has also been on my to-read list, I think, since about when it came out. highly regarded, and she won the Hugo, like, back-to-back years or something.
Three of the books, she won the Hugo Award, so...
pretty hard to beat. Okay, well, I read something completely different, so forgive me from taking us away from this like fantastic world building. I read The Third Rainbow Girl by Emma Copley Eisenberg, and it is true crime with memoir woven through, and the author is also a poet, and so that really kind of comes across in her writing. And so this is this she's writing about a double murder that took place in Pocahontas County, West Virginia in 1980. Two women, one was 19, one was 26, who were hitchhiking to a rainbow family gathering, were murdered. They were picked up, murdered, never made it to the rainbow gathering. The names of the women were Vicky Durian and Nancy Santomero. The rainbow family is this, like, kind of grew out of the general, like, 60s hippie culture. It's been around since, like, the 70s, and there are still rainbow family gatherings around the world. But yeah, so the author is really interested in learning the stories of these women. Their cases have never, like, really been solved. There are two kind of primary suspects that she traces the case through them. One is local and just kind of generally had a bad rep in the area. And he was kind of implicated, and then witness statements were revoked, and there's all this kind of mystique around the case. Mm-hmm. And the other possibility is that the women were were two of many victims of one specific serial killer. Franklin, I don't remember his first name. Anyway, it's less important to remember the names of murderers, I think, than the murdered. And that seems more likely because they were in his, like, there are murders kind of on either side of theirs that kind of placed them in his trail. And he confessed to it multiple times, but there was some suspicion that he was just attention seeking. So she talks about these murders and kind of interspersed in tracing the events of what happened in the case itself and also in the days leading up to their murders. She includes her own experiences living in Pocahontas County. She went there as a AmeriCorps Vista volunteer and then kind of returned repeatedly. She's working at a, like, mostly a summer camp, but also kind of an after-school organization for girls that was really it's like a powerful part of the community. And she would return there and help work with the girls. And she says that she's, like, in the book, she's sort of narrating her decision to come to, narrating her process to decide to write the book. And she is doing it as a way of kind of paying back the people of Pocahontas County, because she's not from West Virginia. She's not from the area. She's from the Northeast. Yeah, so this is her way of just kind of thanking the people and telling a story that is often told there still, but kind of lost the interest of the rest of the nation. So, yeah, it was interesting. Haven't really ever read anything that's that kind of true crime memoir combo, but...
Next, we hear a recording of an event that took place at the Northside Library last month. In it, Rochelle Claiborne and Tucker Rogers perform original acoustic songs and poetry.
Welcome to the Northside Library, everybody. Thank you for coming out tonight. My name is Evan Stankovic, adult programming librarian. Thank you. And I want to thank you for coming out tonight for Acoustic Soul, featuring Rochelle Claiborne and Tucker Rogers. This program and all events are made possible by the generous support of the Friends of the Library, and this evening's program is also being audio recorded for JMRL's podcast On the Same Page, which can be accessed at jmrl.org. So we will have a recording of the concert. We are absolutely delighted to welcome these two incredible musicians and artists here tonight. Rochelle Claiborne, certainly no stranger to the Charlottesville music and art scene, and whose highly acclaimed project, Black Music Excellence Through the Ages, performed this past summer at the Southern, has only reinforced her music status. She's toured all over the East Coast, worked with a multitude of musicians and songwriters, and tonight she'll be sharing her incredible and eclectic vocal stylings that span a wide range of musical genres. In addition to music, she's also an actress and a poet, which she'll discuss tonight, and we are so grateful to have her here this evening. And at guitar, we welcome Tucker Rogers. Rogers plays everything from bluegrass to hip-hop to blues and is known for the deep and honest connection he forms with both his instrument and his audience. Additionally, a fun fact, he's also the official archivist of the Dave Matthews Band, a position he's held for more than 20 years. With that said, please help me welcome to the Northside Library, Rochelle Claiborne and Tucker Rogers.
you all for being here. I've never sung in a library before. Usually I'm pretty loud, so this is going to be interesting. I used to work in a library. My first job, this is a fun fact, Evan. I was 13, and I worked at the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, Gordon Avenue branch. I was a bookshelver. Mm-hmm. And I ran the movies for the little kids. Oh, yeah. So with the reel to reel, oh my gosh, it was incredible. And I got that job because my mama dressed me funny and I wanted to buy my own clothes. So I said, I need to work in the library. And the library was right up the street from me, and I loved the library. I always went to the library, and I said, I'm going to get a job here. So that's what I did. That's my fun fact. So every morning I start my day with a prayer. And the beginning goes, with the permission of Olodumare, the Almighty, I acknowledge the presence in my life of those who have contributed to my life. May their teachings and love guide me as I embark upon a new day. May their wisdom and understanding help me make more informed decisions. I'm thankful for those that came before me, paving the way so that the gift of life could be mine. There's a long road that I traveled to get to that prayer. And the road started by me singing at the historic First Baptist Church on West Main Street. I was 4 years old in the cherub choir. Reverend Benjamin F. Bunn, Imogene Bunn, Julia Holloway, Annie Merritt, these people helped shape me as a child. And it has been said that gospel music is born out of intense grief and suffering, but some of my most joyous times were spent in that building. So what I'm going to do for you first, to pay homage to my ancestors that paved the way for me to be here, is to sing a spiritual. And y'all get a part in this. Okay, you didn't know. See, and it's being recorded. See, you don't even know. Like, next year, you'll be playing Carnegie Hall. This is the beginning for you. So the song that I'm going to do is called I Know I've Been Changed. And the line that you get to sing is, I'm going to say the words first, then I'm going to sing it, and then you're going to sing it back, okay? All right. The angels in heaven done signed my name. Okay? Simple. And it goes like this. The angels in heaven done signed my name. That's all y'all have to sing. Can you sing that for me? I'll sing it for you one more time.
Literally, I'm lost my...
Okay, well, then, you know what? You can be my clapper. Because, you know, we got to have a rhythm section. Okay? Yeah, we're going to get to you next. All right, so it's the angels in heaven done sign my name. One more time.
The angels in heaven done sign my name.
One more time.
The angels in heaven done sign my name.
Okay, that's beautiful. All right, so I don't need those right away.
I don't get a tambourine.
I didn't bring my tambourine. I was like, I'm standing in the library already. I'm scared to bring multiple instruments. So when I point to you, we're going to all sing together, the angels in heaven done sign my name, okay? Just easy, just point and you know it's coming.
So you thought there were two, but just point all of you out, one at a time.
Nope, I'm pointing at everybody, because we're all friends here tonight. Thanks to the friends of the Jefferson Madison Lab. See how you like how I did that? Yeah. Okay.
I know I've been changed. Good Lord, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done signed my name. Well, I went to the water, and the water was cold. Good Lord, the angels in heaven done sign my name. It chilled my body, but not my soul. Good Lord, the angels in heaven done sign my name. Then I went to
to the valley one day to pray, and you know the angels in heaven done signed my name. My soul got happy, so I stayed all day, and you know the angels in heaven done sign my name. And if you don't believe that I've been redeemed, the angels in heaven done sign my name. Well, just follow me down that old Jordan stream. The angels in heaven done sign my name. And I said, I know I've been changed. I said, I know I've been changed. Good Lord, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done sign my name. The angels in heaven done sign my name. The angels in heaven done sign my name. The angels in heaven done sign. I won't be your booking agent, but you go ahead and book yourself. Just give me free tickets. Oh, you want to open for me? Oh, Zach, we'll call. So, thank you. Thank you for singing that with me. That makes me feel like we're more of a community and we're all together. So, I'm a child of the 70s. I was born in 1971. I can say that without feeling old. No. So, I'm a mom. So, quick story. My daughter said, yeah, Mom, you know, I wonder what it was like in olden times. I was like, what do you mean olden times? You know, the 80s. Nothing like having a child tell you how old you are and make you feel older than you really are.
How old is she?
She's only 9. She don't know no better yet. We'll get her there. Y'all having a good time so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Because then I made you work first, so I didn't get upset. I didn't know you could do that.
Really?
Yeah.
With what?
That sound you just made, that sounded like a trumpet coming out of your
mouth. I didn't do that.
This is being recorded, so I'm going to need to play it back. So, when I was in college, I also discovered that I was a poet. And, okay, I take that back. When I was in kindergarten, maybe it was first grade, I made a book of my poetry. And I started to bring it tonight, but it was so pitiful. Let me not embarrass myself. But I mean, like, it had a cover, and I colored it, and I wrote this poem about a bear. It was horrible. I mean, it's just like what you would expect from, like, a six-year-old. But as I experienced more heartache and angst and almost starvation. I mean, I don't think ramen noodles really count as food when they're in a dollar store, right? Like, go to a ramen restaurant, yes, that's good, but no. So I started writing, and I found that that was a cheaper way to work out my issues than therapy, which I could not afford. It's true. So I struggled in preparing for this gig to find poems that didn't have bad words in them. Because when you're in all that pain, sometimes bad words are what you use. So I'm going to share a few poems with you that don't have bad words. I'm so proud of myself.
I'm impressed, frankly.
That I have poems without bad words? I'm impressed, too. I mean, I've curbed my cursing quite a bit because, as you know, I have a daughter, and she has a cuss jar. So mommy has to put $1 in the cuss jar. And it's what's really funny is that we started this because of my boyfriend. Once you become a mom, like, everything changes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you stop cursing, you sometimes slow down on your drinking, and, you know, like, you think about the world differently. But my boyfriend has a potty mouth, so we started the cuss jar because of him, and that is our money to go to Sweet Frog. So every week, take that money, and that's... But I think we should save it because... She could probably go to college with that. I mean, there have been times I'm like, we've got all of that. Wow, we can do something better than Froyo, man. So, yeah, I have poems without bad words. This poem is one of my favorites, and it's called For Gigi. Growing up here, I had a great-great aunt that was more like a mother to me than my mother was. You know, some people would call her like a big mama in the family, even though that's not what we called her. You got to go further south to get real big mamas. You know, like Georgia, South Kakalaki, not even North Carolina. That's not far enough. She passed away in 2000, and I wrote this for her. Do you want to play on this? You'll notice with the poetry, this is what I say to him. I want it to feel like 1970s in the back of a Chevy, right? And he'll be like, okay. And then come up with something all funky and greasy. Or I was like, I want it funky and greasy and nasty.
But no bad words.
That's the wrong.
Sitting on the floor, wood hard with scatter rugs underneath to cushion the long afternoon before us, filled with crazy eights and puzzle pieces placed purposefully to be put together. TV provides background noise. I don't feel good. Can I stay home from school? I use that as a tool to get me the love I need. Not like Bob Barker kissing old lady sweetly until the edge of night comes on. More like Days of Our Lives, and I'm so surprised that all these people have time to do is kill and make babies. Where are the crazy eights and the puzzle pieces placed purposefully on hardwood floors to be put together? No matter. I've got you here now. And I never want to forget sugar smacks, double mint gum, tab soda. Am I beautiful so that I can drink me some? I can't forget your little legs are younger than mine as the reason why I should go downstairs and check the mail. Sometimes there's some for me. I, resident, my brother, occupant. I always got more than he. Mainly coupons for things we rarely buy, but I could still pretend. I never want to forget Rochelle and the Mosquitoes. You tell me that story as I listen to the fan, fighting sleep by looking through screens outlined in wooden frames in your windows. I want to remember resting my head on your belly while guessing correctly Wheel of Fortune puzzles, wondering how we could get on. I mean, way past my teens, we were doing these things. I was near 30, still loving to put VO5 in your thinning gray hair. My legs, still younger than yours, but not like when you'd send me outside because I asked too many questions. You knew the answers, but I could ask all day, and dinner had to get made sometime. I always want to remember you washing your hair in the sink and taking your teeth out, and oh, get away from here with all that mushy stuff. Nobody could kiss you but me and Uncle Eddie, and we liked it like that. I want to remember watching Good Times and the Jeffersons from the rug beside your bed, where I would sit even though there was a rocking chair right there. I always needed to be closer. After all, the black rotary phone might ring and I'd have to run into the hall and scream for someone else to pick up. I want to always remember watermelon summers, hot chocolate with marshmallow winters, Easter outfit springs, but not the fall. I'll savor growing up with two Christmases but no Thanksgivings, because I relive daily the one that took you away. No more Uncle Doty stories, or laughing at how crazy our family is, or getting you some water to take your pills. These days, when I want to smell you, I switch back to Tide and Downy, even though it's too expensive. And I'll sleep in youth dew powdered sheets to conjure you in my dreams. That's where I can relive you washing my hair at the kitchen sink. Trips to Safeway when it was still up on 10th. Your atcha atcha ah, your chuckle, your wit. Your hands always on your hips. Pictures help a bit, but nothing as much as sitting on a floor made of hardwood. Watching The Price is Right, playing crazy eights with puzzle pieces placed purposefully in front to put me back together again. It's hard loving people. I mean, sometimes it's hard just because people suck, right? Like, it can be like terrible, but that, no, that's a good one. Yes. Okay, so this one is, Candy.
Sexy candy.
Ah, she gonna do something. Let's see. It's a game I play every gig. It's fun. Yeah,
figure out what that means.
You know, sexy but sweet.
Sexy candy. Candy. That's where it's sexy.
Say something. Say anything at all, it's going to be sexy because it dropped from your lips. You can talk sports, talk theater, talk politics. It's all poetry to me because it's coming from you. Even with a speech impediment, I'd be mesmerized. Your stutter would make me shudder with delight because you were talking to me. So say something. Say something. Talk about how smart you are. I don't care. I just want to hear you talk. Before I noticed how deep your eyes could gaze or how sweet your lips could taste, I wanted to hear you talk. Expound on everything around you. Your chatter is all that matters to me. The way everything you say makes sense has me befuddled. The way you connect the dots from A to B so seamlessly and brilliantly is an art, and I want to be your apprentice, so say something. Open me up. I'm supposed to be a poet, but around you I can say nothing. Too busy being in awe, attempting to be cool, settling for calm, forget about collected. I'm all over the place and standing still in your words. Say something clever. You know, in that sweet, shy way that only you can say things. Say something meaningful like, oh, I don't know. or just part your lips and push the air through like helicopter propellers. I'll take that too. Say you love me. Say you hate me. Just let me bask in your vernacular. Ebonics, Yiddish, Pig, Latin, Spanglish, I'll understand. Represent the kind of man you are through speak. You can talk all night, you can talk all week. Just say something. Whisper what you crave in the middle of my middle. Deliver a dissertation on how we can birth a new nation of genius. Deliver a soliloquy to an audience of me. Give me a harangue, cuss me out in slang. Speak in your mother tongue, just give me some. Say something. My ears are tuned into your vocal frequency, giving my imagination inspirations of indecency when you say you want to spend time with me. When you talk about the professional mountains you want to climb with me. When you incite giggles and extra hip wiggles to make sure I've got your attention. Say something sweet. Say something magical. Cast out the demon inside that makes me mute and say, I am not mistaken for loving you. See, that was sexy candy.
Yeah, sexy.
What?
I'm starting.
I heard.
Sorry. So usually, like I said, these are a little more angst-ridden. But I'm proud of myself because I also have some beautiful things that I wrote for my daughter. I don't know if y'all can tell, I love her. I know I don't talk about her enough. And I've only got 5,000 pictures of her on my phone. So I wrote this poem because she inspires me to be a better person. Not just for her, but for me. Because she sees something in me that is so special and so beautiful. And I think that's amazing that your child can see beyond the bad day you had at work, you fighting with someone that you are in a relationship with, the fact that you had to borrow from Peter to pay Paul, right? Like, somebody said, I'm trying to make ends meet, but my ends are more waving like this. Right? So she inspires me to want to be better. That's one of the reasons why I did Black Music Excellence Through the Ages, because I wanted a show that she could come to and she could learn about not just my history, but history of some of the music in Charlottesville and music in general. And it was really good, although she said, it was okay. I mean, you were kind of loud. I was like, you realize that there's a microphone? Like, it's not just me. She's like, yeah, I just wanted to go get ice cream. Because you were
that means so, I love you.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
And kids speak. I want to leave your show to go get ice cream means I love you. Yeah. Oh, I learned something today. Thank you.
That's what I hear.
So this is a poem that I wrote for her because we actually practice a different religion than the religion I grew up in, which has been interesting, especially because both of my fathers are Baptist ministers. Yes, both my biological and my stepfather. And the funny part about that, quick fun fact, they both became ministers after their relationship with my mother. So my joke to her that she doesn't find funny at all is, what kind of devil were you that the only choice they had was to give their lives over to the Lord? Shut up. Yeah. or whatever she says in that moment. So that has been interesting too, because your parents see you the way they want to see you, which is most of the time as a child, no matter how old you are. I mean, I'm 48 years old, and I still get called baby. I haven't been a baby for a long time, and sometimes treated as one. So. The religion we practice is called Ifa, and this is a poem about us practicing what is important to us. I took you to the river, both in our whites, chocolate skin grabbing sunbeams and just showing off. You don't have your elekes yet, so you wore your love beads. And I wrapped your head in your muzzy. You'd never made an offering before, but so proud to be grown up in your spirituality. You look like me, and it's beautiful. I want to give you what I never found in church. The closest thing to this was when we had a drummer for a revival, and the rhythms seemed to speak from the middle passage, drowning out the singing and shouting. I want to teach you what I didn't know about power and femininity. Not at 8. Like the difference between sexuality and sensuality, between love and desire, between respect and fear, between wanting and needing, that prayer was asking for food and faith was setting the table. No one told me I could have conversations with those who could no longer speak, that my words could influence forces of nature, that I myself was a force to be respected and honored, that the river could not only wash away, but be an instrument of manifestation, that my daydreams were oft-time visions and the magic of God was inside of me. So I took you to the river to show you how to access your Black girl magic, to connect you to what protects us both. I took you to the river to introduce you to yourself. Thank you. poems, then we'll get back to the music. Oh, I missed my word.
Sneak it in.
Oh, that's okay. I got another one. But I'm glad I saw that before I pulled it out. It got to the end and was like, yeah. Everybody still doing okay? So I spent most of my adult life in the New York metro area, and this poem is actually about two different people that I've blended this whole thing together. So that's the thing about being an artist, right? Like, you make up whatever you want to make up, right? You do what you do. So I love doing this poem because I go back and forth between the two people that inspire them, and sometimes I get confused, but it always comes back to the right place. So now for this game, it's going to be Afro-Cuban Delight. I ache to be stirred by Latin kisses, still dripping with arroz con pollo and mofongo, whisking me away to my own motherland where I am pounding yams to the rhythm of this kiss that calls me by my spiritual name while wrapping my head and painting my face with cascarilla. This kiss is part of what feeds me. He feeds me naturally arepas for breakfast, Celia Cruz at noon, bachata as the sun goes down. And when he holds me squarely, I am no longer weak. But my spine is one long tickle spot that his caress cannot resist. And that smile that meets my giggle like a welcomed old friend, I want that smile with my arepas. And after the music stops, I want that smile to cover every lonely moment in between, but that kiss. That kiss, it calls to me from across state lines. I even travel through time to our first love meet like it was just last week, but decades have long since waved our love a fond farewell. I sit in today, looking out past my life, wondering what if I had said yes that night, or if you had listened to reason, or I hadn't missed my train, or you had opened the door. I ache for youth. I ache for that feeling I had when I felt alive, if only because I kissed a man who tasted like the sea after he danced bachata with me on a New York City street I can't find anymore. Whoa. Evan, am I correct in saying that we're supposed to have a Q&A soon?
Yes.
Okay.
Whenever you want.
Whenever I want. Okay.
Sorry,
well,
for all the things going on behind you with the screen.
I'm
going to plug this in one last time. Ignore me, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. All right. So I want to leave time for some Q&A, and I got about, I don't know, 2 more hours worth of jibber jabber alone, much less the music.
So let's do. Do you want to try the death song?
Which one?
It's called Hey the Blues. The one we were just talking about. Oh, oh hey, where you left me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah, so I also started writing songs when I was in New Jersey, and that was a good idea. I'm glad I did that, because, you know, I've come up with a few things that I actually like, and that are a little catchy.
But
the problem is, I can't remember lyrics. Lyric-less, I tell you. And then I'm getting old and I can't see. Isn't it terrible? Oh my gosh. I feel like, you know, Fred Sanford used to put the, all the different glasses on trying to figure out which ones and put them. That's how I feel all the time. My contacts are in. It's one thing.
that'll mess up lyrics.
You don't have to.
If I start, I'll get messed up.
Well, you know what? We'll just skip that one for right now. I will find it. Because now I'm determined, right? That's the other thing that happens when you get old. You get even more stubborn. And so it's like, oh, what do you mean I can't find that? I'm going to find it. Oh, wait. Oh, I did find it. Wait, this is the one.
I just had to start playing the guitar. And stuff.
Why? Who told you?
Because then you'll find it.
It worked. It's funny, like, inspiration comes anywhere. I was heartbroken, as usual, and started writing this while working my part-time job. I was vacuuming. I work in a store part-time because my daughter, her feet grow so fast, I got a job in a shoe store so I could keep running shoes. No joke. It was December 26th, 2 years ago, and I said, I need to get a job where I can buy her shoes for cheap. So I'm vacuuming, and this little diddly comes in my head, and I like it. It's my favorite new song. It's called Death. It's cold here where you left me. I'm freezing, and I'm a mess. Come back here and see my soul. Without you, I can't catch my breath. Hey, 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 I said it's cold here where you left me. I'm freezing from loneliness. Come back here and save my soul. Without you, I'ma catch my death. I'm twisted, I'm broken, I'm crying, I'm choking, cause I can't be with you. You left me to wallow in all of my sorrow, what am I gonna do? I'm crying, I'm shaking, no sense am I making, I feel like a fool. The way you left, that was cool, and now it's cold here where you left me. I'm screaming. Catch my breath, hey, 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 I said it's cold here where you left me. I'm freezing from loneliness. Come back here and save my soul. Without you, I'ma catch my death. I'm thinking, I'm drinking, I'm feeling, I'm sinking, I'm barely getting by. I can't feel my fingers, the heaviness lingers, don't know if I'm alive. I just wanna kiss you, I don't wanna miss you, and I don't wanna die. But you already said goodbye, and now it's cold here where you left me. I'm freezing.
See my soul.
place,
right?
And it does stuff. It makes you do things. Not always good things. Not always good things. So yeah. So spent a lot of time up north. Picked up my mama on the way down to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where I spent a few years. And then came back here. And I guess the whole point of telling you that is because that journey that I talked about in the beginning, it started in church and led me right back to home. Mm-hmm. And home, I used to say, oh, you know, home is wherever you are, to whoever I was dating at the time. That's not it. Home is where you feel like you can put your feet down and plant your roots and leave something for the next generation. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do that necessarily in New Jersey. I mean, I lived down the shore for a while, and I would say after my daughter was born, you know, she's got the big hair and the animal print, so I really want to give her the abusive boyfriend down the shore that goes with it, right? Like, and I know you're from down the shore, Evan, I'm sorry. You know, but I can teach her how I grew up in this place, right? I can teach her a lot of the lessons that were given to me by my elders and put my spin on it based on my own life experience, right? You always want to do better, and you want your generation after you to be better than you were. I don't want her to be like me. I want her to be way better than me. All right, I want her to be even more talented. Well, she thinks she's more talented. Oh, my God. Because she's a soprano. Sopranos. So yeah, so that's what I wanted to leave with you. And I love this next song because it's about coming back. It's actually called Coming Back. Oh, it's a Mitch King tune.
I was prepping to know about your intro and another song.
Oh no, I skipped around. Have you met me?
At the intersections.
Yeah, and before we do this next song, can y'all just give Tucker Rogers a round of applause? Not only is he super talented, he is a stellar human being. And I have known, how long have we known each other? It's been
19 years?
19, yeah.
Oh, you're not
that old. We met when we were two. Yeah. I met Tucker because I was in a production of The Wiz at Live Arts.
Yeah.
And he was in the band.
Yeah. And four-piece funk band.
Yeah. What a surprise.
And funk.
And we've been, you know, friends ever since, and this is honestly how he is all the time.
Hey, man. Oh, yeah, listen, you.
So thank you. Thank you for being my friend for all these years and for
thank
making
you.
Beautiful moments with me and sharing. So I guess now we can open it up. Thank you for coming. We're about to do the Q&A. You sure you don't have any burning questions you want to ask? I mean,
so very much.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. So yeah, so I guess the floor is open. Just raise your hand and I'll call on you. You know, or we can just put on a dance party.
Do we ever get to know anything about Tucker?
Do I love him?
Do we know anything? Know about you?
Let's see. I've been here since '99, September '99, and I moved here for more music, and I've accomplished that in every respect, working with different people. Just, I don't know who's here from Charlottesville, like life or...
that's a good way to put it.
Well, yeah, I moved here for more things, and it's been fun to watch it grow. And before that, I grew up in Rappahannock County, which is not down there, but up there. By Sperryville, I don't know if anybody knows. Right now, my backyard.
So you're still a Virginia boy.
Yeah. I don't think I ever left Virginia for very long. I'd like to visit everywhere else. Yeah, there's a lot of great people here, so it's fun to... To just do this.
And you do it so well.
It's people that you like. Music is, you know, you just choose what song you're going to play, but it's really the people that you keep playing.
I just wake up and I
this awesome song reminds me of this awesome friend of mine. hey Michelle.
Hey man.
Nothing. That's me in a nutshell.
I try not to. Well, I mean, can we just be honest? We're all friends here, right? Yeah. Clubs don't pay money. You know, and so you're asking me to take time away from my child. You know, you're asking me to get home at 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, there are certain places that I will play. We have a gig coming up in May at Fellini's. Yep, Fellini's, and it'll be the full band, so that's always fun. Rochelle Claiborne and friends. But I really tried last year to not do so much of that, because the energy that you put into it is not the energy that you get back, and the reward is not always there either. So Black Music Excellence was fantastic because it was a show that was crafted. And we did it at the Front Porch, and then we did it at the Southern, and then we did it at Devil's Backbone, like the light version.
Yeah,
just
right. Swarthmore was almost an expiration.
So it's, you know, I would much rather devote my time to crafting music and crafting something that is worth seeing, as opposed to just getting up and singing. I mean, that's fun, and it's got its place, but to take time away from my, and I'm a caretaker for my mother as well. So, you know, it takes a lot to get me out of the house. Y'all lucky I'm here.
Also, though, there's a vibrant live music community here in Charlottesville, and like, there's rewards that go beyond the tangible in that respect. But as far as being and working, we've all got something else we're doing. Also. Usually very well, and very, you know, you have to be pretty motivated to be a... to get your lunch money fairly consistently by playing music.
Well, and you know, Charlottesville, I've heard people say, oh, are you in Uptown Charlotte? I'm like, Uptown? This is Charlottesville. This is not New York City.
It's in New Orleans.
Yeah. But I mean, Charlottesville has what, like 10 venues you can play. How often can I recycle my material? How often can I do that without people being sick of me? So, luckily, for me, I like to do more than just sing. So I've done plays, and that keeps my artistic momentum going. I just happen to find, and I don't know another way to say it, I have to find creative ways to be creative. Because you really can't make a living playing the same 10 places around town.
But then you have all sorts of opportunities.
Yeah. But they're there, and I love them. Don't get me wrong. You know, I love playing out. There's nothing, I mean, come on, we've all been to the bar at, you know, 1:30, and there's the drunk guy dancing, and he doesn't care, like, about anybody else. He is having a good time. I live for that guy.
You stop playing.
Oh, yeah. If you stop, you're in trouble. So there are moments like that are fun, and you know, I'm older, so I don't go out every weekend. So that's the other thing. I'm tired. So to answer your question, some from time to time.
What are some of the favorite things you've done that, either in acting or in singing? When you talk about up and down the East Coast, you know,
Well, I played at the Apollo. It's a horrible story, though, let me tell you. Like, it was right after the 25th anniversary, right? And they had this big television thing, but I was just doing the regular, you know, weekly show. And so I show up, and they're like, what are you singing? And I'm singing, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. How many times have I sung that song with you? Like 8 million times. I've sung that song 8 million times before I met you. I am ready. I said, but I sing it in this particular key. I don't sing it where she sings it, because I'm not Aretha Franklin. I sing it here. And I was like, oh, okay. And I brought my sheet music, and I was like, are we going to go over it? They were like, no, you're fine. Like, all right. So now here comes the show, and they bring me out, and I'm all happy and smiling. I got my little cute dress on. I got my face all dead. And he is not, I don't know what he was playing. It wasn't You Made Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. It wasn't the key, definitely, that I put it in. So the crowd started booing me before I even opened my mouth. Can you believe that? But I can still say I stood on that stage where some of the greatest musicians have stood, and I rubbed the oak and everything. But and the Sandman came and got me. But I mean, I like but that's a funny story, kind of. Funny in a heartbreaking sense. But I used to play a lot up and down the Jersey Shore with a bunch of different bands. And it got to a point where I was doing more like weddings and things like that, and I didn't want to do that. And then this opportunity to move to Winston-Salem came up. So I went to Winston-Salem and got with this reggae ska funk band. That never played out. Oh my gosh.
We did practice.
Yeah, all we did was practice. I was like, are y'all gonna ever book a gig? I mean, like, it's been like a year and a half. And we have songs. All original songs. I mean, no, we're not. Okay, so then I came back here. And so most of, and I played at different universities. We played at Swarthmore together. I played there a few times. But my most favorite stuff, honestly, has been here because The Wiz brought Tucker to me. And it's just a great show. And I most recently did, as far as acting goes, Black Mac at the Jeff School. I was Lady Macbeth and scared a bunch of people. That was fun. But, you know, I mean, like, I've sung all up in, I mean, I played D.C., I played Maryland, I played, you know, Philly. I mean, there are lots of great venues to play in. Of course, New York City, because I was there a lot. So that's what I do.
Where do you read your poetry? Is there a place where you just do?
Not really anymore. So I was working on, I'm still working on an anthology, because I've had several chapbooks and a couple CDs, and I said I'm going to put everything in one book. And the book release was last February. I haven't done it. So I'm still crafting it, and I don't really read out, mainly because a lot of my poems do have bad words in them. So it's not like you can just go to Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar and get up and start cursing. They frown upon that. But the vibe is not, you know, not that. But it's all properly placed, I will say. You know, like, there's a reason for the bad words, you know, and you will understand them when you hear them. But I don't yet. Hopefully, I can get this book together soon. And, oh, maybe I could come here and have a book signing.
You know what's
Will you let me say bad words in the library?
We can hear. It's okay. We can hear bad words.
Really? Oh, no. There was a child in here earlier.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, there was a child in here earlier. So, you know, I try not to. Yeah. What other questions do you have for us? Because, you know, Tucker loves to talk. He's just being shy right now.
That's true.
Yes. Do you think we'll do your black music through the ages again?
I would love to. And I'm actually working on doing it outside of Charlottesville. But I would love to do it again here. There are a lot of people who said they wanted to see it and didn't get to see it. So.
Oh, you have an email that if you do, you'll let us know.
Oh, you can follow me on Facebook.
Okay.
That's where I put everything. I only use it for music, so I'm sorry you won't see pictures of my cute kid. And there'll be no cat videos posted from me. Sorry. I do have a cute cat, but no. So yeah, that's really the best way to stay in touch with me and what I'm doing. What about you, Tucker? How do we stay in touch with you?
Oh, I don't really like Facebook, but I'm on it under a pen name. And I like Instagram. And my wife does post lots of pictures of our kids.
Your kids are super cute.
They're
just like
keep it coming. Yeah, well, I'm trying to describe. If you do Instagram, Squeeze Daddy is my name, my pen name or my handle. Back when I was learning how to play guitar, I was a substitute teacher, but also a blues musician, and he brought in his electric guitar, and he's like, hey, he's, came over at the end, he's like, hey, you said you could play, you didn't say you could play. He's like, you like to squeeze them strings. I'm gonna call you Squeeze Daddy.
That's great.
Yeah. I said, I do. I like to... It's fun.
And it sounds good.
Well, sometimes. what was the question? Oh, Instagram. Socials. That's it. I like Instagram. It's fun. Picture's worth a thousand words. And now you can actually comment those words below.
I do like that part of it now.
The comment?
Mm-hmm. I don't do it, but I like to see what other people do. I'm very much, an observer.
of the whole social media thing.
Because I'm not good at it. Like, I need an assistant. So if you know someone who will, work for free.
Tons of people do that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the time or the energy and sometimes the technological savvy to figure out, what I want to say. And, you're supposed to post multiple times a day,
there's
a week.
There's, Trigs, hashtag, whatever.
Yes, I don't
Michelle,
have time for that.
Hashtag, look at me.
I'm cooking dinner, telling my kid, come on, get your homework, right? I don't have time for that. So I need an assistant.
We sound pretty lame. Nah, we don't really do gigs with time. Internet.
We do sound pretty lame.
Well, I don't even read books. So.
In the library.
It's so funny. Oh gosh. What other questions do you have for us? Oh come on, somebody out there.
Can you answer one of our questions?
You have questions?
I don't know if we have answers.
Oh.
We have
we
good
have
stories. We have some reels.
Tell us a story.
Oh, that's my dad.
Your dad is a storyteller.
Jokester. Storyteller. It's a fine line.
Never met your dad.
All right, this is for Tucker, and I just have to ask. So, what's an archivist do, and how did you get to do this for Damien?
Oh, an archivist is, for lack of a more broader encompassing term, a librarian. So, I'm like a music librarian. I work for Dave Matthews Band, and they've got a pretty large library after playing for 27 years now, right? 1991, something like that.
Something like that. So the guy who's in
there. So do you keep a digital file for them? Or
yeah, I do a lot of digitization of things and a lot of backup of things and a lot of listening, critical listening, and a lot of staring at fields of information. Mm-hmm. And it's the most mundane thing you could aspire to do in rock and roll, but it's also very fulfilling. and the people I work for are amazing people, and they give back to their community, and so I see my job as if I support them, I can support my community because I'm lucky enough to work for people that do that. By listening to music.
That's awesome.
Hey, that was a good answer.
Yay. That was a good answer. I just love it that you get paid to listen to music.
And, other things.
Well, yeah. But a lot of
data entry.
But a lot of what you do is the listening piece, right? And I love DMV, so.
It's a large component.
As you can see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Leroy Moore.
So I've always thought that your job was super cool.
I do, too. I try to imagine that it's not cool. Like, I'm like, it's so grueling, but I love it. Oh, I'm working really hard. I'm not physically. Oh, God, these hard drives are so 16 terabytes, man. Hard day of work. My tattoo is permanent.
No,
that's nice, Bobo. Now I'm a big now. A little bit of symbolism here. I really am a big fan and sometimes very good practitioner of Taoism, and I love the Eastern philosophies. And I was born in January. I think when these blossoms bloom. And kind of a night owl, a year of the rabbit. And one time I was playing on a stoop on my house, and a hummingbird just sat in front of me while I was writing a song for, it just seemed like too long. You know, it was like, wow, this bird's still hanging out. So I kind of rolled all that into one very hard to show. It's hard on my heart. I have other stuff too, but this is, you know, we can stop with the.
Then it becomes a not family friendly show.
Yeah, it is. Lock the doors.
We've probably got time for just a couple more.
What music do you like? Do you have a preference? Do you have something best that you like to sing or work in?
Tucker will tell you my musical taste is so eclectic. And people say to me, I was talking to a woman out there, she was like, you know, what is your music like? And I said, well, I call it crazy black woman music. Like if James Brown and Tina Turner had a baby that grew up listening to Dinah Washington and reading Nikki Giovanni, that's me. If you can wrap your head around that. So I listen to everything. You know, I listen to blues, I listen to classical, jazz, some of my earliest musical inspiration came from country music. My grandmother lived in Blackstone, Virginia. They did not get Richmond radio stations. And they're, I guess, what, an hour or so west of Petersburg. And so I grew up listening to Patsy Cline and Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard. And then I would come back to Charlottesville and I'd be listening to Isaac Hayes and Ray Goodman and Brown. So like it's kind of bounced around with a lot of different styles of music. And then, you know, you get older and you go off to school and everyone is listening to, I mean, Rutgers is huge and there are people from all over the place. And I touch on this in Black Music Excellence. I got to New Jersey and my friend Heidi was from Trinidad. And I didn't know anything about dance hall music. And so she introduced me to Nicodemus and Shabba Ranks and all these. So, like, I literally listened to almost every genre of music. And my daughter gets so frustrated when I put it on shuffle on Pandora because she never knows what's coming. Like, you'll hear bluegrass and then you'll hear, like, today's hip hop. But her favorite is actually 90s hip hop. Yeah. She's got good taste. She loves Tribe Called Quest. So, I mean, so yeah, you just, I love it all. Good music is what I love. So as long as it's good, I'm into it. Because there's some not so good. They're in every genre. So, yes.
Not a question, but I love Gigi. That was a beautiful poem.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I loved her. It's amazing how you can take the things that hurt you the most and make something beautiful out of them. So I try to continue to do that. I try not to be hurt, first of all. But if I am, I try to turn it into something positive.
Don't try to not get hurt.
No, there's, I've had enough hurt. And like, when do I get to like win the lottery, right? And just like skate for a little while. Like, is that...
Like you're in a musical, you're like walking through and like cartoon birds and like, hey Michelle, what's up? It's a great day.
I am in a musical. Like there's a soundtrack that plays in my head all day long. All day long. And I sing conversations when I talk to myself. So like I'll be at work and I'll be like, oh no, you're not gonna do that. I'm going to get the phone and ring. First, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Oh, maybe I should have some tea. No, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. So, like, all day long. That's what's happening in my head.
My daughter does that. She's going to.
She's so talented and wonderful.
She's like, walk around. What song is that? Oh, she's making that.
Yeah. How old is she?
Eight. She's eight. Great. And Cyrus, I have a son who's five. He likes all the tools, all the musical tools. He's like, what's that? Oh, You know, but they did. And my daughter's like, you know, like, what are they doing? She like soaks it up intellectually and then goes down. My son's just like, bam, bam.
Like, bam, bam.
But they basically, yeah. She's like the older Pebbles.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a tangent.
It was a tangent. Oh my gosh. Well, look, thank you guys for coming out, listening to our
That was such a fun event.
Yeah, they were two really talented entertainers.
Definitely. This podcast is made possible through generous support from the Friends of the Library. If you'd like to learn more or join the Friends, please head to their website at jmrlfriends.org.
Please hit subscribe wherever it is that you're listening to the podcast. If you have books that you'd like us to read and discuss or topics that you'd like to hear on a future episode, please email us at podcast@jmrl.org.
That's all for us today. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another recording from a library event. Thanks for tuning in, and we're glad to be
on the same page.